Good evening to you. Let's go to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, for our study this evening. It's good to be here. I'm thankful to see you dear folks out. Had a good visit yesterday with Peggy, and we ask you to continue to remember her as she continues her rehab down at the nursing home. And I mentioned this to the men in the office. If any of you have a CD player, she would love to listen to CDs there, but she doesn't have one, and she is unable to pick up the audio or live stream on her telephone. And she said, "I wish I could listen to CDs." And I don't have a CD player, but if I see somebody back there is indicating to me you've got one, a portable CD player, that'd be great. And if you get it to me, then I'll get it to her. And then when she is released from the nursing home, I'll make sure it finds its way back to you. Let's go to Genesis 32. And I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture, and then I'll ask God to bless. Ladies, don't forget, in the morning at 11:30, the annual Christmas lunch. And this has been a tradition for a lot of years. And I'm sure you will enjoy being here. I think the trio has some songs lined up to present to you. And I'm sure you'll have a wonderful time in the morning at 11:30. Okay, Genesis 32. 24, and Jacob was left alone. Chapter 32, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when this man saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, this person who is a stranger to Jacob, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob said, and he is now unable to wrestle anymore. All he does is just hold on. Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto Jacob, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed Jacob there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as Jacob passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon my hollow of the thigh unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Let's ask God's blessings upon the service this evening. Lord, it is good of you to bring us together to worship. We are thankful that we have somewhere we can meet together in comfort, and more importantly, somewhere we can meet together and open up the Word of God, study the Scriptures, render glory to your name as we magnify and honor your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for such a great Savior, such a mighty Redeemer. We bless you, Father, for sending him to be our Savior, indeed to save his people from their sins. We rejoice in this great salvation and this magnificent Savior who has to be successful always because he's God. And though he assumed our nature, took it into union with himself, he never ceased to be God. And as that God-man, he lived perfectly in this world. And then as our all-sufficient substitute, he took our place. He died our death. He bore the vengeance that we would have borne apart from your sovereign grace. And our Lord Jesus took our sins and he nailed them to the tree. He fulfilled all of your law, brought in for all of your elect everlasting righteousness. Our sins were forgiven. They were washed away by the bloody sacrifice of our Savior. And he who laid down his life took it up again. He reigns in everlasting glory. In omnipotence, he rules this world. And he's our Savior. He's our elder brother. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Thank you, Father, for such a Redeemer. We meet to worship. We meet to adore you. We meet to thank you for every mercy, for every grace, for every blessing that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. For these who have been mentioned, Lord, we mention them to each of us because we need to be reminded of their neediness, and therefore we call upon you to minister to them. But, Lord, you remember your people. You've never forgotten us. You know the needs, you know the afflictions, you know the troubles that your people have, because whatever be our circumstance in life, it is according to your eternal purpose. And may we ever be mindful that all of the things that happen to your children are indeed according to your will, and they work together for good. For all of those who love you, for all of those who are called according to your purpose. Lord, you've said that where two or three are met together, you'll be in the midst. We believe that you have brought us here tonight, and therefore we believe that you're in our midst, and we thank you. We thank you for your abiding presence. We thank you that you're with us day by day. And when we don't recognize or not aware of your presence, still we know you're with us. For you have said you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. as the Word of God goes forth tonight. I pray it'll go forth in mighty power, and we know that we'll accomplish your purpose in the thing whereunto you send it. Thank you, Lord, for all things. Thank you for the gospel of grace and the understanding you have given to us of this blessed truth. We ask tonight as we meet that you would do us good, teach us, and magnify your name. These things we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, this evening we want to study the subject Jacob at Peniel. And I'll begin this way. In John chapter 5, our Lord spoke to the religionists of his day, the Pharisees, who didn't believe him, who didn't have any confidence in him, men who had previously tried to kill him. He spoke to them. These men were opposed to him in every possible way. And he said to them, search the scriptures. That is, you do search the scriptures. And they did. They searched the Word of God. But he said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. You think by reading the Bible, that's how you have eternal life, by you doing something. And I'll tell you, they're not alone in that thinking. There are a lot of people who begin every day by reading the Bible, thinking that's how they have eternal life. You say, do you know God through Jesus the Savior? Now see, I read my Bible every day. Well, it's good that you read your Bible every day, but that wasn't the question. Do you know God? You can only know God through our Lord Jesus. So he says, search the scriptures, or you do search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And then he said this, these are they which testify of me. And then he said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You see, everything in the scriptures, and we know this, we've been taught this for lots of years, but we still need to be reminded, everything in the Word of God is designed to reveal the saving purpose of God in the salvation of a remnant according to the election of grace, and that through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all to the praise of the glory of His grace. And that's all of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament too. When the Savior said, you do search the Scriptures, the only Scriptures they had was the Old Testament. They didn't have Matthew through Revelation. They had Genesis through Malachi. And He says, all of those speak of me. And as we look in this portion of Scripture this evening, we've got to remember that this history of Jacob, very interesting, no question about it. But these things revealed to us about Jacob, they are intended to teach us about our Savior, about His person, about His work. And we see the grace of God given to Jacob, and we know the grace of God is given to poor sinners like Jacob and like you and me through our Lord Jesus. So as we look into this portion of Scripture, or any portion of Scripture in the Old Testament, we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many things about Jacob that are very difficult to understand. And you may very well be asking this question, what's the use in studying the history of Jacob? Well, first of all, because it's in the Word of God. And secondly, because in his history we'll see the redeeming wonders of God's grace to him. And then also because we're said to be the sons of Jacob. You see, what God did for Jacob, he does for all the sons of Jacob. That is all of us, all of the elect of God. Was Jacob loved of God? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Was Jacob loved of God? Yes, and so are we. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Was Jacob redeemed? The scripture says so in the book of Psalms. And we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, the sons of Jacob. Was Jacob called by the grace of God? It says that in Psalm 105 and verse 6. So we're called by the grace of God. As God effectually came to Jacob there at Bethel, when he revealed himself to Jacob as that ladder who spans the distance between earth and heaven, so he revealed himself to us. We're the sons of Jacob. If you don't see the hand of God's grace and God's mercy, and if you don't see the Lord Jesus in his great redemptive purpose in the life of Jacob, how can you see it in your own life? We're the sons of Jacob. We read that in the book of Malachi. The Lord said, I am the Lord. I change not. That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. This man Jacob, he made so many blunders in his life. But the question ought to be asked, why wasn't he consumed? Well, the same reason you're not consumed. It's because God is faithful. God doesn't change. He's faithful to his everlasting covenant promises. He ordained us to be his people. We've been his people from old eternity. He pledged to save us and to keep us and preserve us and glorify us. And the reason we're not consumed is because he's faithful. Not because we're faithful. Now, I encourage faithfulness. I call on you to be faithful. I call on myself to be faithful. But we all know that ultimately, lots of times we're unfaithful. And the only reason we're not consumed is because God is faithful. He's faithful. The Lord loved us like he loved Jacob. The Lord chose us like he chose Jacob. Before the children did anything good or bad, God made a choice. God said the elder shall serve the younger. Esau's going to serve Jacob. Well, whose choice was that? That's God's choice. And here you are tonight, those who are watching by way of the internet, people who know God, people who love Christ Jesus. He's your righteousness. He's your life. He's your salvation. How come you know God? God chose you. That's why. God made you his people. It's true. So often we find Jacob in troublesome situations. But I tell you, there was one who was always with him. That's the Lord. One who undertook to save him in old eternity. And in the dark, it's nighttime. You'll notice that, look back up in verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had and he's left alone. He's in the dark. It's nighttime. You know, back in Genesis chapter 28, he was converted at night when he put a rock down and used it for a pillow. And the Lord revealed Christ to him. That was at night. He said, "This is Bethel. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is the one by whom I'll enter into heaven." A lot of people talk about heaven who've never entered into the gate. They don't know who the gate is. Christ said, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture." He said, "This is the gate of heaven." That ladder, it's the gate of heaven. Christ Jesus. Thankfully, the Lord came to us in our spiritual darkness. And He illuminated our hearts. And we see, in Thy light we shall see light, what Scripture says. He lightens our hearts. But here in chapter 32, we find Him in a nighttime condition again. This is not His conversion. That happened back over, I believe it happened over there in 28, chapter 28. But here He is in the dark again. And you know, it is not unusual, even for the children of darkness or children of light, children who are redeemed by the blood of the Savior and called by grace into the kingdom of light, it's not unusual for us to sometimes walk in darkness. Did you know that? Let me show you this. Isaiah chapter 50. Just hold your place there. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. There are seasons of darkness, even in the lives of God's children. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Now watch this. He says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord?" What does that mean? Who worship God? You have a heart fear, reverence, respect. You stand in awe of God. "That obeyeth the voice of His servant." Well, what does His servant say? Look to Christ. That's what the servant says. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant?" You know God, but you walk in darkness and have no light. That's Jacob back in chapter 32. Now, he's a believer. He's a child of God. But he's in darkness. He's in trouble. He's fearful. He's already got this tremendous gift to give to Esau, whom he's very much afraid of. And Jacob's in darkness. Maybe I'm speaking to one of the Lord's children this evening. You walking in darkness? You know, sometimes, I can't explain this, but there are some times when God seems to hide His countenance from us. I assure you, He's still there. But He will bring us to this condition that we search for Him. We've just got to have Him. I've got to have the reality of His presence. That's Jacob. That's Jacob in chapter 32. And this is the people of God here. Here's somebody who fears the Lord. Here's somebody who obeys the voice of His servant. but walks in darkness and he has no light. Well, what's a person to do under those circumstances? Now, read the rest of this verse now. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. I tell you what the psalmist says, the name of the Lord, that's our strong tower. When you can't realize the presence of God, know that He's still there and trust Him. And hide in Him. And stay upon your God. What does that mean? Lean all your weight on Him. I can't see Him. Where is the Lord? It's nighttime in my life. It's nighttime in my experience as a child of God. Well, know that He's there. Though you can't see Him, though you don't sense His presence, lean on your God. It's a miserable condition as a child of God to walk in darkness and have no light. Where is the Lord? Where is the joy that I have known before? What am I to do? Well, trust in the name of the Lord. He's your strong tower. He's your pavilion. He's your help. Psalm 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and earth. Isaiah 24:15 says, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel. You have fiery trials, fiery difficulties. Continue to trust in the God of your salvation, the God of providence. And do as Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Yes, over here in chapter 32, Jacob is in another night season and he's all alone. At least he thinks he's all alone. Another night of trouble. It seems like he's always having troubles. You know, some of the people of God, they feel like they're always in a dilemma. And the only thing I know to tell you is, trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God. I don't know whether He'll take the trial away or not. But I'll promise you this, He'll be with you in the midst of the trial. Jacob, you're going to have to meet up with Esau. This is something you've got to do. But Jacob, rest assured, you're not by yourself. And you aren't either. Neither am I. Well, verse 24, let's go through this real quick. And Jacob was left alone. There wrestled a man with him under the breaking of the day. Who is this man? Well, verse 30, Jacob said, I've seen God face to face. This is the God man. That's who this is. This is our Lord Jesus in pre-incarnate form. He comes to Jacob. This is all according to the purpose of God. And the reason for this wrestling is to bring Jacob to the end of himself. You see, in a wrestling match, our son David used to wrestle. And Ethan wrestled. Some of you, maybe back when you're in high school or college, you wrestled. The purpose of wrestling is to pin your opponent. It's to put him down. It's to defeat him. It's to win the victory over him. Our Lord is dealing with Jacob in order to pin him and make him to see he is weak. But his Savior is mighty. That's what the Apostle Paul learned over in the book of 2 Corinthians. He besought the Lord three times that the thorn in the flesh would be taken from him. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. Keep the thorn." And the apostle said, "I'll glory in my infirmities and in my weakness." You see, yes, I'm weak. Yes, you're weak. There's no question about it. But he's mighty. He's mighty. And here he is initiating a wrestling with Jacob. This is not Jacob making a decision. He's going to wrestle with the Lord. This is the Lord of glory coming to Jacob, coming to one of his children, and wrestling with him to bring Jacob to the very end of himself. And he wrestled with him to the breaking of the day. And it says in verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against, doesn't say he couldn't prevail against him. Doesn't say that. The Lord could have immediately conquered Jacob. But he's putting Jacob to the test. Will he quit? Will he just give up? Will he, like most people, just be contented with a little religious experience and then be ready to get on with more important things of his life? Or is he really serious? Does he really mean business? And I tell you, Jacob wrestled with him, the Lord having initiated this. This is not saying the Lord couldn't prevail against him. All he had to do was touch the hollow of his thigh, and his hip is out of joint. There's no question about who's got the power here. The Lord touched him, and from then on he limped. Why did the Lord do this? To show to Jacob his superiority, and to make Jacob understand again that he's really without strength. That there's nothing to Jacob. And, you know, the Lord constantly is showing you and me, those of us who are the people of God, we have no strength save that strength which he gives. And he makes us to limp. When he deals with us, when he deals with us in grace, when he shows us, and I think the Lord here is giving Jacob the assurance of his salvation. And he's going to walk the rest of the days of his life knowing it's the Lord who touched him. The Lord who touched him. Well, in verse 26, then the Lord says, "Let me go. The day breaks." Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go." He can't wrestle anymore. His hips out of joint. So all the wrestling is taken out of Jacob. But he holds on as though he were holding on for dear life. And when the Lord says, "Let me go," the day's breaking. Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." Nobody can bless but God. And so he blessed him this way. Look at verse 27. He said to him, "Well, what is your name?" He said, "My name is Jacob. I'm a deceiver, a deceitful man. I'm a supplanter. I take things just because I want them." The Lord reminds him, "Jacob, you're just a sinner. Don't ever forget what you are by nature. We don't, do we?" You see, it's always good for us to be reminded that we are by nature sin. We're sinners, we're sin. Sin within, and we therefore sin without. Who are you? I'm Jacob. I'm Jacob. Don't ever forget that, what you are by nature. He says, well, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. He's given him a name change. For as a prince hast thou power with God and men, and hast prevailed. You've prevailed with God. You don't have to be afraid of going up against Esau. You've been with the Lord. And those of you who are the people of God, you don't have to be afraid of anybody out here. The Lord initiated in these dealings with you, and He brought you down to see that you're nothing and He's everything. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Jacob. You've seen the face of God. Surely you can go deal with Esau now. In verse 29, Jacob says, well, what is your name? And he didn't get the same answer Moses got. You remember back in the book of Exodus chapter 3 when the Lord revealed himself to Moses out of the bush that burned, but he wasn't consumed. Moses said, well, when I go to tell Israel that I've been sent to deliver them, who shall I say has sent me? What's your name? I am that I am. That's what God said. But he didn't say that to Jacob. He didn't say that to Jacob. He just says, why do you ask my name? God reveals himself according to his will, bit by bit. Jacob is naturally curious. God teach us in his time that which we need to know. But I tell you what the Lord did. He did more than tell him his name. He blessed him. He blessed him. He blessed him there. He gave him the assurance that Jacob's a child of God. He gave him the blessing of protection, I'm sure, the blessing of guidance. Martin Luther said he gave him the blessing of a renewed sense that the seed of the woman is coming through him. Even Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, he blessed him. And he gave him an assurance of the salvation of his soul. He even says here at the end of verse 30, my life is spared. I've been rescued. I have been rescued. God has saved me. That's the assurance of salvation. Now look at verse 31. As he passed over to Peniel, as he walked, the sun rose upon him. The Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings. He went forth and he felt the warmth of the Son of God. And he went forth, but he halted on his thigh. He still got a bum thigh. His hip's still out of joint. You see, what the Lord did to him affected his walk. And I'll tell you, what God does for us in Christ Jesus, it affects our walk through this life, through this world. We walk through this world and our chief design is to glorify God, to honor Him in all that we do. And I know we fail. We'll always fail without Him. But we desire our walk to be honoring to God. We desire for our walk to be a blessing to those around us. We desire that our walk be instructive to those who behold us. And like those folks in Acts, that people will say, well, they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Tell you what, the Lord deals with us. It will affect our walk. No question about it. But it ends this way, verse 32. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. That which was evident to the people of God and evident to Jacob himself that God had dealt with him became a superstitious thing to the Jews. And if you read, some of you do read John Gill, and I enjoy reading John Gill as well. He says there's an entire chapter dealt with in one of Israel's law books. Entire chapter deals with this, that they must not eat of the meat from the hollow of the thigh. And that if you eat, according to Gill, that if any Jew would eat a piece of meat, even the size of an olive, from this forbidden hip joint, it'd be beaten with 40 stripes. You see, the man of the world who is religious, he also is superstitious. But I tell you, Jacob said, the Lord's touched me. It's like Job. Do you remember what Job said to his friends? He said, pity me. Pity me. The hand of God has touched me. And to those of us who know the Lord, we say, God has touched us. Don't pity me, but rejoice. Rejoice that God has touched me by His grace. He wrestled with me. He brought me down. Like Saul of Tarsus riding high into Jerusalem or into Damascus. The Lord brought him down. The Lord touched him and he fell off his horse, blinded him. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the rest of the days of the life of Saul of Tarsus, whom we know as Paul the Apostle, he walked through life ever affected by what God did for him. And we'll always be affected by what God has done for us and is doing. And we go through the days of our lives full of thanksgiving, full of praise, full of gratitude to God, who wrestled with us, who brought us down to see that we're nothing and that He's everything. And we rejoice in Him. Father, take the things that have been spoken this evening. Remind your people that you're always with us. And maybe like Jacob, some of your dear people, people who fear you, people who have obeyed the voice of the messenger of the gospel, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they walk in darkness and have no light. Like Jacob was. Well, he is a child of God. But he's in darkness. Darkness of his soul. In great distress. In fear. Let us trust the name of the Lord. And let us stay upon our God. Lean all of the weight of our souls upon Him who loved us and who gave Himself for us. So bless us with an understanding of this passage, and may we go away refreshed in spirit, reminded that the Lord Jesus, our Savior, ever cares for us. And He who lived and died and arose for us, ascended and ever represents us as our advocate before the Majesty on high. Unto Him be glory in the church forever and ever. Amen.